podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So today is Mother's Day, and as always, I, not being a mother, will awkwardly attempt to bring a challenge to our women this morning. And I have no experience as a mother, but I have a great mother, and I am married to an excellent mother. But most importantly, I have the Word of God. And this morning, I would like to share some words to you that were written by the Apostle Paul as he wrote a letter to a pastor named Titus, who was pastoring a church on the Isle of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea. Paul gives Titus some instructions on how to challenge believers in his congregation, and specifically in the passage we're going to look at this morning, we read how Paul instructed Titus to challenge the women in his congregation. Now, these words are inspired by God. They are still relevant to women today, even though times have changed drastically from the Roman Empire to today. Titus was a pastor, and it was his job to care for his flock. And Paul told him, look, you're not doing your job if you don't speak to the women and make sure that they are passing their values down to the next generation. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak this morning through his word. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Titus 2, starting with verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So this passage of Scripture can be likened to the passing of a baton. Therefore, we have called the message today the baton. Not a baton that you twirl at the front of a parade. We're not talking about that kind of a baton. But the type of baton that is passed during a relay race. Those of you who have watched the Olympics, you have seen this before. One person runs the race to the best of their ability, they reach the end of their particular course. Their energy is just about spent, and they take the baton and they pass it on to a fresh runner, someone who is just beginning the race, and the exchange of the baton is made, and the new runner grabs the baton and continues the race. And then the race continues that way, however many runners continue to take the baton until the race is through. And the passing of the baton is an extremely important moment in that race. Because you see, if that baton is not exchanged properly and it hits the ground, it's not a good thing. Because you have to go back and pick up the baton and run with it, and chances are by that time, you're way behind. The passing of the baton is an important moment in the race, but the passing of the baton is also a critical moment in life. And truth be told, the passing of the baton in life is not a moment, it's a process. It's a process. It's a lifestyle. And Paul tells Titus that there is a baton passing process that must take place between the older women of the church and the younger women of the church. So I have a baton here today, and I want to have each woman in the church to take the baton and run around the outside and hand it to the next... No, I'm just joking. But what I am going to do is I'm going to give this baton to the first woman sitting right here, Carolyn. This is your baton. And I want you to pass it down to the next woman, and then she will pass it to the next woman until we've got that thing all the way through.
I don't have to run to her.
You don't have to run. You don't have to run. So... when that baton comes by, men, don't touch that baton, okay? It's being passed through the congregation from woman to woman as we continue. And don't drop it. Don't drop it. Make sure every woman gets an opportunity. And this is children, young girls too, all right? You're part of this as well. Young ladies. So it's about the older women and the younger women in this passage of Scripture. whichever one you say that you are. Just so that baton that Paul tells Titus must be passed from woman to woman is a baton worth passing. It is a baton worth passing. So let's begin by looking at the baton. First, it is a baton of love. It is a baton of love. In verse 4, Paul writes to Titus and he says, look, it is your job as the pastor of this church to teach and to guide the older women of your church to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good and to urge the younger woman to love their husbands and children. So the first thing we know about this baton is it's a baton of love. The older women must urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. And the word urge here can also mean to train them, to teach them, to pass the baton of love for family onto the younger women of the church by example, by instruction, by mentoring. It needs to be passed along. Now, you may say, that's an easy thing, to love your husband and your children. I mean, all women love their husband and their children. Why does someone need to teach another woman how to do that? Why should it be taught? Why isn't it just something that is true of all women, that they love their husband and their children? The Apostle Paul says here, look, there are some women who have more experience in this thing. They have lived a life of wisdom, and they have gone to the point in their life where they have loved their husband and their children for a long time. Their children are grown, they're raised, they're out of the home, and they have their own families, and their husband is well-respected in the community, and they have reached a point in their life where they are experienced in this process of loving their husband and their children. They're known for that. They're godly in that. And it's their responsibility now not to keep that knowledge to themselves, but to pass that knowledge on to the younger people, to say, look, I've had this experience. I have wisdom. I've been through it. I know where what you're feeling. I know where you are, and I can pass that down to you. The truth of the matter is that it's not always easy to love your husband and your children. Yeah, I know that we husbands and children are so stinking lovable, right? We are so lovable, and there's no way that a woman could fall out of love with us, right? But it happens. And so the love that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is more than just a feeling. It is about serving your husband and your children, about being intentional in loving them in active ways, about putting them before yourself. And in Paul's day, as well as in our day, sometimes that responsibility can become very stressful and heavy and difficult. If loving your husband is so easy, then why is it that around 34% of the women who have been married in the United States have been divorced? I know that we have a number rolling around that, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Actually, that number's a little bit inflated. It's not quite to that extent. But, and it's hard for them to measure these things. But honestly, about 34% of women who have been married in the United States have also been divorced. And the divorce rate in the church is only slightly better, depending on whose statistics you believe in. You can bring that. I think, has everybody gotten it? Back row. Oh. What are y'all doing? I mean, that is not the most efficient way to pass that baton. There we go. All right. Good job, and nobody dropped it. Fantastic. But some of you followed it all the way around the room. I saw your eyes. Okay. So the truth is this, that women are human beings, and we human beings are born with a sin nature. We are born with the flesh that tells us to look out for ourselves first and then to care for others secondarily. And sometimes, even when we marry the most perfect man and have the most perfect children, we still have the sin nature, and Sometimes we fall out of the feeling of love, and sometimes we just wake up in the morning and we don't feel like caring for our children. And so sometimes we need an example of someone to come alongside of us and tell us, look, here's how I got through it. Here's how I got through it. And sometimes I didn't feel like doing it, but I did it because it was the right thing to do. So Paul recognizes a need for some baton passing to be done in this area. In verse 5, he says, they can urge the younger women also to be self-controlled and to be pure. And a way of combining those two is to say that he's telling them they need to be holy. Holiness is a baton worth passing. To be holy is to be set apart for God in the way that you live your life. And Paul's concerned that the younger women in the congregation were being tempted to let their holiness slide. On the island of Crete, out in the Mediterranean Sea, where Titus was a pastor, women became bored with the routine of their lives, and they began to pursue excitement. They married young, sometimes in their teens. They had children young, some before they were really ready. They were pressured by their family and by their culture to start a family early, to get out of the home because dad couldn't necessarily provide for them as they got older, so they needed to have a family of their own. And now, some of them felt stuck. So they were ripe for problems and temptations. Things like alcohol and sexual affairs were common in the Roman Empire. Now, who did they have to talk to about such temptations, these younger women? Pastor Titus? Your pastor's not the best person, young ladies, for you to come to and share some of this stuff with. That's just humanity. I care for you and I want to pray for you, but I may not be the best person to talk to about some of these issues. Their own mother? Well, yeah, if their mother is a godly person who will take the time to listen to them and sit with them and talk to them, that might be the best person to talk to. But in some instances, that person was not available, especially in the Roman Empire, because people died so young. Well, then who else did you have? Dr. Phil? Oprah? They didn't have that either. Their husband? Sometimes a husband's not the best person to talk to about these things either, especially if you're hiding stuff from him. He's liable to become angry, and he lives in the flesh too, and he might lose it. Paul says that the baton of holiness needs to be passed down from the older women to the younger women. From the women who have experienced these feelings before and who have weathered their lives and who have had opportunities to fall into these same traps, but because of their faith in God, they were able to be faithful, as the song says, and to be holy and continue to strive and to live a life for the Lord and to be an example in their community. That's the person that a younger woman who is struggling with these feelings needs to talk to. The younger women have questions about things. Like, is what's going on in my family normal? Are these feelings that I'm having, are they normal? Are these temptations I'm having, are they normal? Is this relationship, my sexual relationship with my husband, it doesn't seem right. Is this normal? Now, not everybody can answer those questions. But someone who's been through it and continues to live their life in a holy, godly way and has succeeded in not drowning and falling into the culture, a person like that is a person that needs to be passing that baton of holiness to the next generation. Verse 5 says about this baton also that the older women are to train and urge the younger women in being kind, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husband. And I see the word kind there as the most important word. I know our eyes would be drawn to, look, it says that the woman needs to be subject to her husband. And, you know, some of us would take that to be something that doesn't fit our culture as much as it fits that culture, that a wife should be subject to her husband. But it really means that a wife in that culture, that her responsibility was to support her husband in such a way that he would succeed. That's still a woman's job today. And it's a man's job to support his wife so that she will succeed in all that she does. He just so happens to be speaking to the women here. To be kind, to be busy at home, and to be subject to their husbands. So let's cover all of this word with the word respect. Because the word kind found here is the attitude with which the other two actions are to be exercised, right? To be busy at home and to be subject to your husband in a kind way. To be kindly busy at home. To kindly be subject to your husband. The emphasis is not on the actions here necessarily as much as it is on the attitude of respect in doing these things. Now, the busy at home business may not speak to our culture as much as it spoke to the culture of Crete. See, married women in the Roman Empire, for the most part, did not work outside the home. They were what we would call homemakers today. And in our culture, the United States of America, 29% of mothers do not work outside the home. So what is classified as a housewife or homemaker, someone who does not, a woman who does not work outside the home, that's 29%. That is a minority compared to those who work outside the home. In 1967, it was 49%. So you see that the numbers have dropped, but actually the numbers in 1999, it was 22%. So there's sort of a little bit of a rebound taking place where more women are choosing to stay home. It may be because there aren't as many jobs. Maybe because of a drop in the economy. Or it may be that some women have decided that they need to be there during that time with their children. But whatever the case is, there's a big difference between Crete and the 21st century United States of America as far as what women did. And so Paul was writing to a real pastor in a real place, in a real church, with real people, and recognized that the majority of these women lived at home and did the work of the home while their husbands worked outside the home all day. And please understand something. They didn't have our modern conveniences in Crete. They didn't have washing machines and dryers and vacuum cleaners and Swiffer wet jets and dishwashers and ovens and microwaves. It wasn't like that in their day, you understand. They didn't have a refrigerator in which to keep their food fresh. Right? Ice was like this huge expensive commodity to get your hands on. You need to understand that times were different then. Their work was much harder and much more time-consuming. It took them much longer to do the common things that we can do in just a couple of hours. Take them all day in order to accomplish some of these things. So their work was different. You know, modern women sometimes read these things like this in the scripture, and they consider to be Paul to be some sort of a typical sexist male because of the things that he says, right? Look at Paul. He wants the women to stay at home. Look at Paul. He wants them to be busy around the house. Doesn't he know that women work jobs these days? Look at Paul. He wants the women to serve their husbands. I mean, what kind of a thing is that? What we need to recognize is that Paul was writing in a culture where this was the norm. And if Paul were writing to the church in the 21st century in America, to American women, the responsibilities might sound different. He might say something different, but I don't think the attitude would change. What Paul was saying here is be respectful and kind in whatever you do, in dealing with your husband and with your children and with the chores that you're responsible for. Whatever it is that you do, be respectful and kind in the way that this is done. So we can summarize this baton that Scripture says needs to be passed down from the older women to the younger women as a baton of love and holiness and respect. And this baton is just as important today, love, holiness, and respect, as it was when Paul wrote this letter to Titus. Well, who is it that Paul says should be passing the baton? Who is it that passes this baton? Well, baton passers, first of all, are characterized by wisdom. Because he says the older women should pass this on to the younger women. And the word older here doesn't necessarily mean older in age. That's the first thing our minds go to. But it means older in experience, older in what you've been through in life, older in wisdom, which is the knowledge that you have that's been honed over years of experience. In the Roman Empire, believe it or not, 5% of the people lived to be 60 years old. Only 5% of the general population in the Roman Empire lived to be 60 years old. So what we consider to be older women and what they consider to be older women, completely different things. So these women have fought in the trenches of being a wife and a mother and have earned the good housekeeping seal of approval. They've earned the honorary degree of MOM. They have entered a phase in their life where they can now pass the experience that they've earned in godliness onto the next generation. But it's also true that baton passers are characterized by intentionality in addition to wisdom. It says that these women need to teach what is good and they need to urge the next generation. This is an intentional action. It's not something that doesn't happen on purpose. It's not something that's caught. It's something that's taught. To step out of one's comfort zone and to be available to the younger women and to pass down this baton. Let me tell you what it is not, though. It's not confrontation. It's not seeing a woman who's doing it the wrong way and getting her in the corner and berating her and telling her how it's supposed to be done. It's not finding a younger woman who's not doing it right and chastising her. That's not what it's about. It's not about talking behind someone's back either. Did you see what Daisy Lou was wearing? Scandalous. It's not about talking behind their back. It's about more than that. It's not a church program, okay? Let's pair up the younger women with the older women in the church and hope something good happens, right? It's not a church program. What it is older women with more experience in life and godliness intentionally being friends with younger women so that when their advice is needed, it will be welcomed. It will be natural. It will just feel right. It's about maintaining those relationships so that when the time comes, you'll be able to speak into someone's life. You can't just jump out of the blue and give advice and expect to be trusted. It takes intentionality. Where you say, I know you've been struggling, and I have been where you are. Why don't you come over and let's talk about it? Would you take advice from someone who's been where you are? It's intentionality. But it's also character. In verse 2, it says that these older women are to be reverent in the way they live. Not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. To be reverent. In fact, this is the only time that this word reverent in the Greek language is used in the entire Bible. The only place where that word is used. It describes a person who lives their life in order to revere God, in order to honor God. Their life is lived in such a way that God is revered and honored through the way that they have conducted themselves. And Paul gives two little examples here, specifically designed for the women of Crete. He says, you need to be reverent by not being a gossip or a slanderer and by not being addicted to wine. See, now Paul is in trouble with all of the feminists, right? So, this is what Paul thinks of us women, huh? That all we do is sit around and gossip and drink wine all day. Well, that Paul, he's just a pig. Remember, Paul was writing this letter to a pastor in first century Rome on the island of Crete, and life was much different then. And apparently, Crete was this small island where everybody knew everybody else's business, kind of like living in King, you know? Small town. Everybody knows everybody else's business, and they have a good time talking about everybody else's business when they got together. They had no television for entertainment or movie theaters or internet. They didn't have anything like their reach was the shores of this little island that they lived on, and all of their entertainment and all of their curiosity had to be satisfied by living on this little island with each other. You get that? A little different than where we live today, isn't it? And so apparently Paul wrote this because it was a problem. Some of the older women had lost their direction, and the tendency once their children had grown was to meet together for wine tasting and gossip. And the wine tasting became more than just tasting, according to the verse. And Paul's advice was this: look, rather than sitting around talking about these younger women behind their backs, why don't you enter their lives and be a solution for them? If you see something happening in a younger woman's life that is tawdry and wrong, if you don't like the way they're leading their life, be a friend and godly enough and a mentor, an example to them, and meet with them and tell them, look, I see something going on here that I don't like. And do you know what people are saying? And let me help you. That's Paul's advice. But you know, it's not the norm necessarily. You know, I was in Starbucks not too long ago and I overheard three women and they were gossiping. I mean, they were just chattering away about somebody, and it was the most horrible stuff I'd ever heard. It was a quiet room and they were very loud, okay? I wasn't eavesdropping. I couldn't help but hear what they were saying. They were talking about some really tawdry stuff that, you know, affairs, and he said this and she said that and all this kind of stuff. And it took me a few minutes to realize that they weren't talking about real people. They were talking about a television program that they all watched. Maybe it was Gossip Girl. I don't know what the name of the TV show. But that just goes to show that sit around and talk about the television programs that we watch. Women, when they get together, whether it's older and the younger together or just women together and in relationship with one another, you know, what do y'all talk about? See, us men wonder sometimes, right? But what do y'all talk about? Is it about helping each other grow in the knowledge of the Lord? I mean, do you enter into conversation that we would call discipling conversations, where you try to help another person to grow in their relationship with the Lord? That's what Paul's talking about here. Women who pass the baton must be wise, intentional women of character. But when you passed this baton from one to another, did you notice something that for a moment as you were passing this baton, not only were you holding it, but somebody else had to grab it? And for a moment there, you both were holding the baton until it got passed, right? You didn't throw the baton to the next person because that's a little bit too risky. You passed it to them, they grabbed it, they took it, they passed it to the next person, and this baton, you may want to wash your hand, has touched every woman's hand in this room, right? I know y'all are clean, though, so I'm not worried about that. It went from hand to hand to hand to hand, and the baton needs to be passed, and the baton needs to be received, is the point I'm making. This passage speaks to the younger women, too, and it says that the younger women need to be willing to receive this wisdom and this instruction from the older women, from this baton of love and holiness and respect needs to be received as well as passed, or else it's going to be dropped. So what does it say about baton receivers? Well, baton receivers are characterized by humility, first of all. Does the passage say that? No, I'm reading between the lines a little bit, I need to tell you. But in order to receive advice from another person, you need to humble yourself before them. Logically, we can surmise that from this passage. The opposite is too easy, right? The opposite is the flesh, where we say, look, woman, you grew up in a different world, okay? You're older than me. You don't know what I'm going through. It's a different world, and you don't know what I'm facing, and how dare you try to tell me how to live my life? And so when we do that, we don't receive the baton. We reject it. You need to humble yourself to receive the baton, because humility recognizes here is someone who has faced exactly what I am facing now, maybe under different circumstances, but somehow they've come out to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I need to soak up some of this wisdom. Younger women, you need to be willing to receive that advice and that mentoring from the older women. And that humility gives way to teachability. Teachability. The Message version of this passage says that the younger women, by looking at the older women, will know how to love their husbands and children. I don't always disagree with Eugene Peterson, but I do here. Because the passage in the Greek says that the older women need to urge and train the younger women. And it's something that is not caught, it's something that's taught. The baton is not passed down haphazardly, but intentionally from one to the next. And both the older women and the younger women need to see the importance of this happening and be willing to be a part of that exchange of the baton. And so, at the end of this passage, we read why this whole baton passing thing is important at all. And finally, Paul takes his cards and shows them to us, and he says, this is what it's all about. Because at the end of verse 5, Paul says, so that no one will malign the word of God. Or in the Message version, we don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. What he says is, look, the older women in the church need to pass this baton of respect and love down to the younger women of the church, and holiness needs to be passed on. Why? So that the gospel will shine forth. So that the word of God will be passed. And so that others in the community who know you are Christians will honor God because of what they see. Paul always brings it back to the gospel, doesn't he? As believers in Jesus Christ, we've been forgiven from sin and saved from sin. We're set apart by God to live for Him, and we need to set an example for the world to follow. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure that the older generation of believers is passing down their values to the younger generation. If the baton is not passed, we run the risk of making God look bad. It's called discipleship. Passing down our godly faith and values from one believer to another. And it should be happening every day in the life of the church. Not by church programs per se, although sometimes we can use church programs to do that, but through godly, organic relationships between people in the church. It's a sociologist by the name of Paul Lazlett who says that people fall into four ages in life. Doesn't necessarily give ages here as far as how old you are, but generally speaking, as we go from infanthood through the time when we pass from this earth, we go through four ages. One, the first age, we ask questions like, what will I learn? Who am I? How do I fit into the world? The second age, we ask questions like, what will I achieve? What is my identity? What is my purpose here anyway? I know who I am, but what's my purpose? The third age, we ask questions like, what makes me happy? How can I be fulfilled? You know, I've gotten beyond the who am I question and the what's my purpose. Now I want to know how I can be fulfilled and how I can grow to the full potential of my life. And then the fourth age is where we begin to ask questions like, what's my legacy? How can I pass my values on to the next generation? That these are four ages that we fall into in life. And as you look at that list, maybe you can identify yourself, men and women both. Where do you fall in life? Where are you now? Be honest. Where are you now? I can be honest with you. I'm going to turn 50 next year. And I'm already beginning to ask this question. What is my legacy? How can I pass something on to the next generation? However, I've also experienced this. I know that I continue to struggle with questions in age one as well. I think we all accumulate these questions as we go on through life. And sometimes we have to change our answers accordingly. But I want you to look at that and realize that what the Apostle Paul is saying is just normal, right? When you reach the age where you're at the fourth age, where you're asking the question, how can I pass my values on to the next generation? That should be the time where you say, if I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who has weathered the storm and has continued to walk with Him, and I know my time here in this world is not as long as some others, God can call me home at any time. I want to pass some of this on to the younger generation, particularly those who are asking questions like, who am I? How do I fit into this world? Because they need you. They need you to step beside them and to talk to them about the experiences that you've had. And younger ladies, you need to hear some of this. You need the wisdom of the older ladies. This is true of older men and younger men as well. Friends, we all need to be invested in one another's lives. And I believe that sometimes we get so busy in our own lives that we forget that God has placed us here for each other. So I want to challenge you, whether you're a mother here today, whether you're a woman or a man, to think about your responsibility to pass on what God has given to you to someone else, to be an example to them. Leonard Sweet says, if you are not leaving life with a sense of unfinished business, then your business was too paltry and puny to begin with. I pray that our business is not too paltry and puny, but we see our responsibility in this world as huge, so that we can pass away from this world with unfinished business. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together this morning and for the opportunity to come face to face, Lord, with this passage of Scripture that was written to a pastor in Crete. And Lord, I just ask that you would give us the opportunity as your followers to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us today about these things. Lord, help us to live our lives in an intentional way, Father, that we might be an influence and an impact for good in the lives of those who come after us. And Father, I pray for those who are young here, Lord, who have a lot of learning and experience yet to do. Father, I pray that their hearts and their minds and their lives would be open to receiving godly admonition from those around them. Lord, that first and foremost, you might receive the honor and the glory, and Lord, that your gospel might succeed through us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.